Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
Yeah, it is time to open. It totally is time to open. I started to say, "You betcha, Red Rider," and then I thought, oh my gosh, if I say that, four-fifths of the radio audience will know who I'm talking about. Red Rider was actually a cowboy hero from the 1940s and the 1950s who had us riveted to the radios with his adventures with his sidekick, Little Beaver, which of course would be considered racist or something, I am sure, right now, but to us, it was the magic of these two radio characters participating with each other. We've got a big shift happening here on planet Earth, and Randy and I were looking to see how to best bring this whole thing to you because things are totally changing, and it's showing up in the physical world as well as the spiritual world. So we talk about telephone ringing and dog barking and angel singing. As I recall, Randy, didn't your bird sound off from the bathroom during one series of shows?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, what's funny is I can go the whole day and not hear the bird until I go downstairs with a phone call, and that bird will talk and talk and talk.
So we aren't in the studio. We're planning on being in studio later this year, but it's a little bit challenging to fly in from different parts of the country to do that, as well as for our guests. So we'll have an in-studio radio show for you today. Part of what we've been going through is that Mike Vitale, who has been our rock and our anchor for 11 years, has gotten a promotion, and he's got a much bigger job going on. It makes us, we're suffering from some loss. We've met Mike, he seems like a fine person, and we have tremendous history with Mike on so many different things. There's been times when Randy wasn't here or I was barely here or whatever because something dramatic was going on in our lives, and Mike would come on air and be with me, and we had some great shows with Mike. He was somebody that you can count on. So I told Mike yesterday, I said, well, we're just going to have to buy the radio station so we can have you where we want you. And that may sound like a loose threat, but Randy, you've known me for a while. Will I buy the radio station?
You bet you will. Totally capable of doing it.
I know. Let me tell you, I wanted. You know, I liked Larry Hagman's apartment, right? On in that apartment building. I didn't tell you. I think I actually went over there last week. Drove in and said, "Where's your sales office?" And they said, "Well, we don't have a sales office anymore." And I said, "Well, I want to be living in this building. How do I do that?" And she said, "Oh, you have to have your realtor come in and make arrangements for you." And I said, "Well, I'd like to speak to the old managers," because I had met them and had made friends with them and was planning on this moment of reconnection. And they go, "Oh, well, we just replaced them earlier this year." Mm-hmm. You know, not like they were bad, just that they weren't part of the future of who bought the company. I guess some company now owns the place. So I was like, oh, okay, so I don't have my old connection. So I called up my my realtor.
Okay.
And, well, I was just thinking about it. She was, like, kind of shocked. She said, "What's the address of the place you want to buy?" And I go, "101 Ocean. And she goes, "101 Ocean doesn't exist." I said, "Beg your pardon, I was just there. I know it exists. It's Larry's old apartment. It's actually condominium." And she goes, "Well, they're not listed in the multiple listings." I didn't ask about the multiple listings, Kathy. I asked about it. How do you get to the sales office? And she goes, well, I don't know that it can be done because of blah, 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 blah. Well, let me make something very clear to you. When Oprah Winfrey wanted a home in Montecito, do you know the story, Randy?
No.
So my friend Maggie Migan lives in Montecito, which is a very, I think it's the highest priced real estate in the country, and it's just incredibly beautiful place. And Oprah Winfrey wanted this particular house. And the house was not for sale, and it was valued at $11 million, and they said they would never sell it. What do you think she did?
Whatever she wanted.
She offered them $50 million, and that's where she lives now.
Interesting.
So I told the realtor this story. And I said, now you have an opportunity to be the one that gets me a condominium there, or you don't. It's up to you, but I'll be living in that building. So, Cumulus Radio, we would like to join forces with you. I don't know exactly in what shape this will happen, but we're operating out of a number of different stations. We've got some yummy opportunities here, and we want Mike Vitale, and you took him. So you're going to have to give him back in some form or another because he's important to us. Yeah, please get in there and say something about Mike Vitale, Randy.
Oh, well, I mean, he's been our rock. He's been rock. He's just so solid in our life, and he's the voice that we hear before, you know, sometimes each other. And he's just always got a kind word, and I love his funny sarcasm. And he's what made this just really work for us, you know, in the beginning and then sometimes piping in the middle and, like you said, sometimes doing whole shows and then always something great at the end. So definitely love you, Mike, and so going to miss you.
Yeah. We're not planning on missing you for too long. Just I wanted you to know that. Micah, you have a wonderful chance here. This is a great show with great people, and we're glad you're here. And follow Mike around because he's got what time and experience gives. He's got flexibility. He's got he creates solutions. He does all kinds of things. This show and the circumstances. Just as we had some trouble getting on air this morning, equipment trouble. And as things happen in the universe, when I say universe, I'm just not just doing la-la universe. I'm saying that there's actually electrical transmissions that occur. There's all kinds of things that actually happen in the atmosphere that affect radio waves. So it's not just you turn the switch on and the radio happens. It's that you have to sit at the control board and make sure that everything's working. So, Randy, you had talked earlier when we were in the green room about what you wanted to talk about today, and I got all excited when you started talking about all those little cells communicating with each other. So we can look at these little cells in our bodies as a reflection of what's going on in the universe, and if we clean up our universe, we will actually help clean up the entire universe. And so with that, it's a tribute to you, Mike, we're cleaning up the universe. And we're doing it personally, which is the strongest and best place you can do it from. So give me a shot of your good stuff this morning.
Well, I mean, it's already went into play because we were talking about Mike, and we were basically dedicating the show to Mike because he's, you know, moving into new frontiers. And there's a certain energy that goes out when we're doing that. So we're collectively thinking about something. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's you and me. And there's power in that. And there's power in the spoken word. And, you know, I was listening to a guy, and I'm just kind of going to regurgitate in a paraphrase some of the things that he's been saying. And I've probably listened to this 20, 25 times in the last week to 2 weeks, and it's phenomenal. I sent it to my sons. I've sent it to my friends. I've sent it to family. I've sent it to people that just mattered in life. I'm sure I've sent it to you too, Val, or maybe I held back because I wanted to talk about it today.
I was just going to say, where's mine?
Yes.
No, I get it. I do expect a recording, however.
Now you will get it if I didn't send it already. But basically what he talks about is how our body is made up of 50 trillion cells, and it's a community of electricity. Each cell has got about 1.4 volts of electricity, positive on the outside and negative on the inside. And every cell is a battery. So the cells in our body equal about 700 trillion volts of electricity. And so if we focus on that energy, on healing, then we can do so much. And all animals and all plants communicate through vibration. So, you know, what am I saying? Like, you and I were talking, and we were talking about...
Well, you know what you're making me think of? You're actually making me think of The Secret Life of Plants.
It is very similar, but it's even more... I mean, I can actually...
But most people don't think that plants communicate, and they do. And most people don't think trees communicate, and they do. And it's like our spectrum of who we think talks to each other, what they're talking about is like minuscule according to what actually is happening. I mean, you're pointing to something very phenomenal here that is pretty much outside of the human considerations in a day. I doubt that very many people think about whether their plant's talking to each other or the cat's talking to the dog or your toe is talking to your nose. But that stuff is going on every moment.
And the thing is it's you know, all animals and plants communicate through vibration. Like, if you take a gazelle, for example, it doesn't have to talk to the, you know, cheetah to know that that's a danger situation. There's a vibration connection that's going on, and the cheetah is very well aware that that creature, that gazelle, that dainty little creature is actually in fear, and he's hungry, so, you know, there's a whole, and we're told to listen to words, but if you look at everything outside of human beings, they all go by vibration, and language actually kind of destroyed that ability for us.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I am right there with you. I was talking not just about meditation, but just about being silent.
Yes.
Just to be silent and put yourself, I choose nature, okay, and you choose, your nature has more sea and things like that, and my nature has bobcats, deer, all kinds of things, and I love just sitting out watching and just being quiet and seeing what happens, and I can see the birds communicating with each other, and I have some phone wires in front of the house, or electrical wires, which I was going to take down because they were so ugly. Mm-hmm. But I didn't, because it turned out that this is a performance stage for the birds in my neighborhood. And I'll sit in my window chair looking out, and the birds will, you know, like seven ravens will be there. Or what a little teeny hummingbird or whatever. And it's all part of the whole mix that you're talking about. I am so glad you opened this up.
Yeah, I am absolutely in love with this. I mean, I've raved for many years about that book, The Secret Life of Plants, but... this just really took it to a whole nother level for me. And, you know, okay, so when we look at each other, we only see the physical, but really we are all really interacting waves. And we have the ability to affect each other. And if you think about the cells in the body, for example, one cell alone is, you know, not going to kill you with cancer. But one cell times a bunch of cells, you know, there's something going on in the body, and the body will listen to the one central. Like, it's a community. So if the community is all going negative, then, and let's say you go to a doctor and he says, oh, you're terminal. You can actually die just by basically that doctor
believing him.
Terminal. Believing him, yes. And I've seen it happen in clients and in friends' families, and if you don't believe me, then look at somebody who takes a pill. They do those experiments, and they're blind studies, and they, you know, some are given a placebo. They're given something that's just, you know, water, whatever, and some are given something that actually is attacking whatever the issue is. The ones that are getting something that's just water and they think it's really something, their mind is doing something. And it's what's going on. It's the brain activity. And there's things to prove that it's actually outside of the body, like how these waves actually interact, how you and I would interact with each other. There's something called EEGs. Most everybody's heard of that. And that's where they put the actual wires on the head, and it actually reads They put it on the skin, whatever, and it reads the brain activity. And then there's something else that's called MEG, and I may not say it quite right, but it's short for magnetoencephalograph or something like that.
I get it.
Okay, those probes, those things do not touch the head. They're outside of the head, and yet they can still read all of the waves going on in the brain, just like the EEG does. So basically, it's saying that we are not particles, we are waves, and your thoughts are not contained in your head, and it's proven with this MEG machine. It's already out there. They already know this.
Well, that's what I was talking to you, what I was talking about a few months back when I was saying cancer is a wave. Like cancer goes in and out depending upon the wave, just like light is a wave. And we tend to have a tendency to try to organize things and put them into straight lines, okay? Light is supposed to travel at 186,000 miles per second, but it doesn't. It travels at 172 up to 196, and it's a wave. So when we try to force a straight line reality onto a natural thing, we're bound to mischief. And I want to, you notice I mentioned Maggie Migen earlier in the program in Montecito. Well, mm-hmm. She and her first husband were doing some amazing things, Randy, and one of them was, I'm technically laughing here because they were called end-of-life videos.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you're 92 and you think you're going to be dying next week or something like that and you want to leave an end-of-life video for your family, they would film mm-hmm. them. Okay? Guess what mm-hmm. happened? The people never died until like 3 or 4 or 5 years later.
Okay.
By photographing them and having them tell their story and actually communicating everything they had always wanted to communicate, all of a sudden they were perking up and playing badminton. It was the dangest thing I ever watched.
Yeah, it has to do
exactly what you're talking about. It was like, how many times you sit around and you say, well, I wish I told my son such and such, or, I never communicated to blah, blah, blah. What I meant and all that stuff. When they do this end-of-life stuff, they communicate it all, and then they go zippy-doo-dah.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is like, if you're, we're like tuning forks in our brains, and so if you're thinking very positive about someone, for example, then you will find a way, or this energy will find a way to get you connected, and it's the same if you're thinking negative. That's why I always try to be such a super positive person. And I'll give an example. This week, I was thinking about somebody that I love very much. And I picked up the phone, and I was going to send a message. And then I was like, no, and I got sidetracked. Because kind of the ball's in their court to pick up the phone and call me. And so I set my phone back down. I am not kidding. I was having all these super positive thoughts about how much I love them, et cetera. And not 5 seconds later, someone I hadn't heard from in days calls me. 5 seconds, my phone rings. I was in utter shock. But
well, we could create a personal thing here, okay? We could create a personal thing because there's a guy that you and I both know that has disappeared from our presence for a while, who I love dearly, and who you love dearly too, and
yes.
he's known as the plumber, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I believe I have a fairly good idea of what's going on,
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, that's nothing. What's going on is nothing. All that has to happen is a few small adjustments, and we've got a radio star, okay?
And if you don't believe what you just said, if people that are listening don't believe it, because I know you do, there's something called harmonic resonance. And think about it. If you hit the right frequency, you can actually, and everybody knows that, opera singers can do it, they make a crystal glass explode.
I've actually seen it happen, Randy. It's the damnedest thing. And also, musicians can do it, too. Like opera singers and stuff, I've seen them shatter glass.
So if we hit or we broadcast the the right frequencies in our thoughts, then we can connect people in a good or bad way.
But it doesn't mean you can do it 100% of the time. I mean, what she's telling you is you can do it, and I've done it. But a perfect example would be Roger James Hunt, who I just adore, who lived at the house for a year, and I hadn't seen him in a while. And I said, Universe, I want you to give me a way to see Roger because I haven't really heard from him and I haven't seen him. The next day, a FedEx with his name on it is delivered to the house. So I call Roger and say, a FedEx has come over here for you. And he's over, like, within, it would have been 24 hours since I originally had the thought. Now, Roger has disappeared and I can't find him, and all of my positive thinking, because I wanted to invite him to the concert tonight, his answering machine still works, but I haven't heard from Roger. So it's not like that I can do this 100% of the time, but I've done it often enough. I mean, it's a perfect experience here today. I am dressed for a funeral, Randy. I got up at 5:45 this morning. The wonderful man that's made my cones for over 20 years died last week. When I called to place a cone order, his daughter, Adelina, said, my father died 20 minutes ago. What are the odds of that, for starters, that would happen? And now I'm all dressed and ready to go to Forest Lawn after this. And also, this is Mike Vitale's last radio show, who I've worked with for 11 years. You could call this a coincidence, but I don't believe so. I believe it's a universe shifting. I believe it's forces that we try to force into straight lines that are actually waves, and they're affecting us. And I know darn well that when I do my work and keep my word, whether I feel like it or not, things get elevated, and you know the same thing. I mean, it's exciting, don't you think?
Yeah, completely, and you're hitting on it. We're not a single entity. We are a community of 50 trillion cells, and so every cell is intelligent, but when they are in a community, they give up their personal intelligence, and they respond to the central voice. So the community represents a thing called an organism, basically, and the central voice is the mind, and there's signals from the external and the internal environment. Think about it. Like New York City, 1 year after 9/11, so September 11, 2002, the people, what were they all thinking about? Collectively, they were thinking about 911. So what happened? The lottery numbers were 911. 1 year later on the anniversary.
Are you kidding? I didn't know that.
That's a good one. So they created the reality because they collectively thought about it. And you can do it on a smaller scale. Like, if I'm super positive. And
do you know about this Mandelbrot thing or something like that? Have you heard of this?
No.
This thing where, well, it's really interesting. And Jenna was going to be on this morning, and she can't be. So, well, she's going to be on next week, Jenna Lauren. But she's the one that actually sent me towards it. And what she was showing me was, I believe it was this simple. They were showing me internet things on Muhammad Ali's death, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In one reality, Muhammad Ali died, I'm just making it up because I honestly don't remember when he died, but let's say he died March the 12th of 1992 or whatever. I don't know. Somebody out there. Why don't you check and see when Muhammad Ali died, according to what is in front of you. Here's the whole thing that went on. If you checked from different people and you would go to the internet, it would list his death on a different day. And it had to do with whatever reality, parallel reality you were living in. And I was talking to somebody about this just yesterday. I do physical therapy. I'm working on having my arthritis reversed. And the physical therapist, a terrific woman, I just love her, she was talking to me, and she was talking to me from a certain place, and I was listening to her from a different place, and I could hear it. It would be like she would use the word control, and I might use the word manipulate, something of that. So we were having similar realities, but they weren't quite the same. And we were looking at each other, and I said, you know, we're a perfect demonstration of two different worlds trying to talk to each other. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about today. And when I first heard about St. Francis talking to the trees, I go, yeah, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
I find out that trees actually talk to each other through their root systems. So it's like, when I disagree with something, it's usually because my thinking is too small to be able to encompass it. What year did Muhammad Ali die?
June 3rd, 2016.
Okay, another reality I saw, I remember he died in, 2012, some date around there.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that they could pull up these realities and they could actually put them next to each other, and I don't remember whether it was Mandelbrot or whatever, but the realities were all true, which is what's really important to remember if we're trying to put our opinion on somebody else. They may have a different reality, and it may be just as accurate as ours because it's, mm-hmm. it comes from a slightly different perspective. And I know it sounds kind of floaty or druggy here, but when you get into remote viewing, then you begin to actually be able to move into different realities, and the whole room can be attuned.
When,
You went to him, but you didn't do the remote viewing part, right? With Major Ed Dames, or did they do any of that?
No, that was not the conference I was at, no.
Yeah, what this beautiful person did was get Sherry and I two tickets to Major Ed Dames for remote viewing. And that was absolutely fascinating. They would show us four numbers, okay? Which is actually part of what Randy's been talking about. They would show us four numbers. They would teach us how to receive data. They taught us different shapes and forms to represent different images we were experiencing. They put the four numbers up on the board that had been randomly selected, by the way. They didn't exist before they put them on the board. And then we would be sitting there in the silence writing down symbols of what we were receiving. When 80% of the room is right on the money and the other 20% has got pieces of it, how do you do that? How can you explain that? I think it's exactly what you're talking about, Randy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the function of the brain is to perceive the signals, and then the function of the brain is to interpret them and then send the information out to the rest of the cells in the body. So, you know, that's it in a nutshell, and if we just be quiet and we just listen, we can actually, you know, if we think about our thoughts, we can activate those things in the world that we actually really want to connect to. So in Ed Dames' scenario, he's doing a whole lot of other things. I mean, he's former CIA, and he ran this program that Stanford had brought. It was a very fascinating program called, like you said, remote viewing. And they solve crimes all over the world. They solve crimes that are in the middle of, you know, being activated right now. And it's really cool because it'll be somebody in Texas. He has like a four-man team, somebody in Texas, somebody in California, someone in New York, whatever, and no one is talking to the other. No one knows that they're each
nope.
dealing with the same scenario. It could be a soldier has been kidnapped in Afghanistan, and
yeah.
they're each given the same clues, and then they figure it out, and it's all through this whole vibration thing. It's can you connect to that or can't you? Do you have the ability to silence the rest?
Well, we all have the ability, and that's the big secret. The big secret is keep you going to work, keep you trying to feed your children, keep you trying to cure your cancer, blah, 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 and all that stuff. We all have the ability to do this, and if you really want something easy, a lot of cities have insight training seminars or something of that nature. In Santa Monica, we have the University of Santa Monica, which was originally designed by John Roger, who passed a couple of years ago, a remarkable man. In one of the training seminars, well, I've done it a couple of times, Randy. I mean, one of the times in one of the training seminars, we all threw our car keys into the center of a group, and say there were six of us or seven of us sitting in a circle, and we pitched our car keys in. And nobody said anything about whose car keys it was, and nobody was really trying to pay attention. And then we'd pick up one set of car keys. And we'd say, oh, I see a totem pole, I see this, I see that, I see the other thing. And we'd go, oh, my God, have you got my car keys? And we would have had their car keys. So there's just all kinds of ramifications and realities that Randy and I are introducing you into this morning. And that's just that the world is actually a bigger and more wonderful place than you think. And when our systems are choked by fear and cholesterol and, oh, God. Did you see the fat belly thing I put on last week, Randy, by any chance?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah, because it, to me, it's like America's got a fat belly right now. And it's got a fat belly with fast food and all kinds of stuff. And I was just telling Randy this morning, she said on purpose, I think, I've lost 20 pounds in like the last 2 months, and I did it very methodically. I've done it very intentionally. I've done it with vitamins. I eat under 500 calories a day, and there are specific calories that I eat. And what can I tell you? Life is very different from where it was. I do get more tired more easily, so I have to sleep more, but then I realized I was only sleeping 4 or 5 hours a night before instead of 8 or 9, which is actually advisable for the body. So different things are beginning to just disappear from my reality, and I love your coaching on further dissolving, you know, arthritis and stuff of that nature. But I have a single device, Randy, that if I don't use it in the morning, my back hurts all day. Mm-hmm. And if I do use it, it stops hurting for a couple of hours, and I just use it again. So I have a choice between having a back hurting all day and restoring myself every few hours. Gee, which should I pick? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I have the power to say, what should I pick? Before, I was lying going, You don't have any power from there.
Nope, not at all. You know, physics today studies the vibration, not the physical. In quantum physics, they study the waves and how they all interact. And all of the waves, like I said earlier, all the waves together is called a field. And we are made out of atoms, and we're also the field. And so we're connected to everything because you can't separate the waves.
No, I love it. I love it. And now she's into the quantum field with me. That's how I do DNA clearing, Randy. Is by going into the quantum field. The quantum physics says that the moment you look at something, it changes. So most people are running around with secrets. They're guilty about this. They're guilty about that. They're angry about this. They're angry about that. They're sad about this. They're sad about that. All that stuff blocks your relationship to the quantum field that she's referring to. When you start to release those things, go into the DNA structure and start to release it, boy, does life get interesting. I have some of the most interesting people in the world that I get to work with. And because I work with them, they give me ideas I never would have had all by myself. You can't know everything. I mean, you'd like to, but you can't. Randy and I learn something from each other every week. Okay? That's the value of picking out who you live with.
Well,
you want to make sure that you...
Yeah, they just learned way more than what MDs know, because MDs focus on genetics. This is way different.
And well, maybe your MDs all focus on genetics. I, fortunately, there are some crossovers, Randy. And right now I'm on a trail of a guy, I'm not going to mention his name because he doesn't want any more clients. You actually have to get down on your knees and beg to get in. He's a chiropractor that charges $350 an hour, and he doesn't take insurance, and you have to keep your fingers crossed that you'll be able to get in with a couple of months with the right referral. That's how it works over there.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy actually can see where your blockages are emotionally. He can actually see them. He sees DNA like I hear DNA. I work with people to... Actually, if they're wanting to make a presentation, we'll have them write the presentation, and then we'll actually go through it, and we'll actually clear whatever it takes to put that presentation at a higher level. I'm sure if any of you out there that are speakers, that you have had some days when you spoke that the room just sizzled. and then you wondered how that happened or what could happen. It's what Randy's been talking about. You were in a peak wave when you presented to that room, and the room responded. I presented to a room at the Forum facility, and I had two offers for television, and it actually, I got offered a whole lot of stuff as I walked down the center aisle. People literally jumped out of their seats. But my own being at that time, it was like 20, 25 years ago, the people that were offering me things, I cut them off at the knees. Just cut them off at the knees with some smart-ass remark, because I had a blockage that wouldn't allow in what was being offered to me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's true of many people. And we like to make it about somebody else, but it's really about what we will allow ourselves to have, what that is all about. And I am incredibly grateful to Insight Training Seminars, to Landmark Education, and to 100 other seminars that I have taken for actually helping train me to be in that field and let it in, let in what people are trying to give me. I can see how many times I just shut somebody off. Like, somebody starts to give me a good piece of information, I say, I'm just too tired, which is true. It's not that it's not true, but it just becomes a piece of the puzzle that you never got. And you can turn that around.
Yeah. I'll give some specifics about this that I've kind of put into play this week, because I've really been digging into this, because I just love this. And not only was there the little phone thing, you know, 5 seconds later.
Yeah, I love that.
It's important to write down what it is that you're wanting, what you want to create, okay? What do you want for your life? And I've done this before. I've done it in the past, and it totally worked. And I've kind of, you know, talked about that, how I got my property, et cetera. But just this week, like I said, there's someone that I love. But because it's, like, not really solid, I go out on dates with different people, and I'm just living my life. You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And so I wrote down on a piece of paper all of these things that I wanted with that one person. And that happened to be that one person that actually did call me 5 seconds later. But I also said, I want this person to, you know, I need to know that they are really totally in love with me. They need to be doing, and so I wrote down specifics. I won't say exactly what I said, but then I thought, you know, the more I dug into it, I thought, okay, but what if he's not the one? What if it's some of these others that I'm dating or someone I haven't
met? Oh, you know, that is a really good point that you just brought up.
Right. Because if
when you do what you're doing, you could get the right one and it wouldn't look like the one you thought you were going to get.
But you also have to put it out there that way, too.
Totally.
Right.
But that's really important, because otherwise people can become obsessed that it has to be this one person. And this is a totally different thing that she's talking about. She's talking about that she wants to have her heart touched the way her heart is touched, and she needs certain qualities in response. And it could be that guy, but it may not be. It could be something even better.
And here's the thing. If that person that I wrote down specifically about, if that person isn't putting out that into the whatever, into the waves as well, then we're not on the same level, and there's going to be conflict. It's almost like a wall. So it's like a message going out my way, and it's getting blocked because he's putting out something different.
Right.
So I put it to the test. And I wrote it specifically about him, but then I put it also about any of these others that I may or may not have met.
Word it, Randy?
When I put down about him specifically, I put his name, and I put I love blank with all of my heart.
But how did you leave it open for the others? I'm curious about how you structured that. I think Randy just disappeared from the conference bridge. She'll be back. You'll see. She has just disappeared from the conferences. We've been having problems with the ionosphere, so to speak, of this morning. Okay, Kirkgaard, I guess it's time for you to continue this conversation. What she's talking about is so amazing because it's about the qualities. And when she talks about frequencies and she's talking about quality, here she is. I think she's back again.
And I got kicked off the bridge right in the...
You got kicked off the bridge because you were too hot, baby.
I'm telling you. So, okay, so the second... I have a whole page of things. And I put, I want blank to collectively create the reality. So I wanted them to be putting the positive too. And then I want them to be... as desperate for me in this life as I am for them. Like, I'm just crazy about them. I love them. I want them to beg for me. Like, I beg for them. You know, I'm very passionate in my thoughts and my feelings. And so my list just goes on and on, okay? And then I also put, but, okay? It wasn't even a but. I didn't put it out there because that's a negative. What I did is I said, if this is not the person, but I didn't really say it like that. I basically said, whoever that person is, I want them to collectively create that reality. I want them to be desperate for me in this life. I want, you know, and I basically said the same exact things. If he is putting out the negative barriers and he's not putting out those positive barriers like I am, I don't want to shut off what I'm supposed to have. And so
right.
I changed it. So I did that. And so I did it both ways. And then guess what happened yesterday?
I don't know what happened yesterday.
Woo, the day yesterday. It was just, it started out like a normal day, like anything else. And I had a date and I canceled it. I just wasn't feeling it. So I canceled it. And I decided that I was going to stay home and just do my own thing and hang with my kids. And believe me, Friday night in Miami is like always such a super, it doesn't matter where you go. It is just fun. And everyone I knew was out except for one of my best girlfriends. She was home also. And so there was a gentleman that I had gone out with a few times, and we really hit it off very nicely. And all of a sudden, on Monday, he went cold turkey in communication. Well, I had just done this. So he actually contacted me yesterday, and he was telling me how much he misses me, and et cetera, et cetera. And he said to me, because obviously he's been thinking, and I knew that he really liked me a lot. And he says, I'm offering you, he sends this to me. We had a phone call, and then he was sending me messages. And so then to really clarify what he was saying, he said, I'm offering you a friend, a companion, a life partner who respects you, adores you, and wants to enjoy and share his life with you. That was one. That was one. I got a letter. I got an email from somebody that I've known for over 10 years. They sent me this email last night. They sent me a text, and I happened to be going out. I was gassing up one of my son's cars because he had to be out of here super early. He had a big thing this morning, so I was helping him to prepare for it. So as I was heading out the door, I get this text message, hey, I'm going to send you an email. I want you to take a look at it. Get back to me if you feel like it. Basically, in that letter, they were like, well, I've known you for 10 years, blah, 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 and on and on and on, and I love you, and that they want to have a life with me. That's number two. Number three is a friend of mine who's going through a very bad marriage. It's falling apart completely, and they're not going to last. And it's unfortunate because I've been the biggest cheerleader in trying to help them to make it work. Anyway, sent me a bunch of messages last night as well. So it was, okay, and I'm saving the best one. I don't know if it's the best one, but I'm saving the one that...
You think it's the best one, though, and that's what's important in this moment.
So anyway, those messages were basically the same. I'm so in love with you. I wish you were here and out with me tonight, blah, blah, blah. And so that one, you know, I'm not fostering because they still have their life issues to deal with. So then the other one where I was very targeted, where I love so-and-so with all of my heart, blankety blank, all these very targeted ones, sends me a message last night. I miss you. And yeah.
Aww.
And begging me to come out and see them. And, you know, I'm standing my ground because I'm firm on certain issues that we're just not coming to agreement on. And so I did not go. I did not just drop my life and go. I stayed home and stuck with what my plan was instead of just being at somebody's beck and call and just going. So,
and boy, don't they all know that one.
Yeah. So my point is if you start to do this, the things that you actually want, if somebody is collectively thinking the same, it's amazing how it just all comes back.
We're electromagnetic biochemical creatures, and that's what she is saying. And biochemistry is biochemistry. It produces the same result every time.
Mm-hmm.
It creates what it wants to create. Before we go too much further, Randy, Micah, I hope you're listening. We actually were working with Mike, and he would give me a 3-minute warning before the end of the show. So. Can you hear this? Did you hear this?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much. There we go, Randy. Now I'm back to feeling calm again.
Good. Very, very good. That's what we need. So where do we take it from here? What time are we at? 10:52?
Well, it isn't even just about what time. What it's about is that... this concept that she's bringing up is what people are reaching for when they meditate. It's what people are reaching for when they do drugs. It may even be reaching for what they reach for when they smoke cigarettes. I remember the first cigarette I ever smoked, Randy. I was going to a school dance. I was like 17 years old, and I found a cigarette, and I smoked it, and it made me feel all woo-woo. You know,
mm-hmm.
like kind of floaty
mm-hmm.
and special and all that. The rest of them after that just made me cough for years. But that first cigarette put me in a place that I had never experienced before. And I think that's part of what happens with cigarette smoke. And if you take a look at what happens with the American Indians when they pass the peace pipe around, who knows what was in that peace pipe? Certainly natural herbs. But I know that that's also what people are when they smoke marijuana. And if you go to the marijuana store, which us who have had arthritis and other really debilitating stuff to deal with, you can go into a store and actually discuss all the major characteristics of the marijuana that you want to purchase. For instance, do you want to purchase marijuana so you can study better? Do you want to purchase marijuana so you can have pain relief? Do you want to purchase marijuana so you can connect with spirit? Do you want to purchase marijuana because it's more, it's more creative? And so instead of me looking at, like musicians who smoked before they played, mm-hmm. Oh, my God, when I smoked some marijuana and listened to Simon and Gunkel for the... Gunkel, that's funny. Simon and Garfunkel for the first time, I heard instruments that I had never heard before, Randy, because it expanded my frequency zone, just like you were talking about earlier. So mm-hmm. people do these things for a lot of different reasons. I actually took cocaine once because I heard if you only did it once, you would... you wouldn't become addicted to it. And I had read most of Sherlock Holmes's work by the time I was like 10. I think I started when I was 8. And I wanted to know what that stuff was that he was taking. What did it do for him? Well, I'll tell you, I could see why it would be addictive, because it gave me a clearer perspective of the relationships of things in the world that I hadn't seen. And in fact, I watch Sherlock Holmes on television to this day, watching how he takes a room apart, or what he's looking for, or what he's sniffing for, and what he does to clear his voice track, or what he does to clear his senses. He takes certain things so that his taste buds are stronger and things of that nature. So he's taking himself to an ultimate place, and he's doing it in the TV series without the use of harmful drugs. But the point is, the things that we consider harmful drugs were actually intended, in the beginning at least, as a path to somewhere outside of the boxes that we live in. And if you've seen I can't think of his name. The funny English guy that made all the movies. He's parodies. He does parodies on movies, and one of them is it has a fish tank. And in the fish tank, everybody's going around, swimming around the fish tank, going, "Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Howie. Good morning, Bert." And they keep swimming around the tank doing that. And basically, Randy and I refuse to live in boxes and inside of fish tanks. We are looking for those connections that are outside there that we're reaching for. And this may sound like a typical program this morning, but if you follow through on what she's doing, some of you will find out that you have an immediate knack for it. Others of you can go and get trained. As I said, I recommend Insight Training Seminars. I recognize Landmark very much. It's very much in the business world. There are lots of great trainings. I think Mary Morrissey, I've seen her work on the Internet, does good trainings. Sherry Cole Whitaker, oh, my God. She's in her 80s now, I think, up in the country. And see if you can go to her website and hook up with her. She used to have thousands of people. We drive from Santa Monica to Long Beach, to San Diego every Sunday, Randy, to hang out there.
Nice.
So there's what Randy is pointing you to is towards a future that I promise you, if you're not doing any of this stuff, this is way more interesting. And we're in our last 2 minutes, Randy, so what would you like to...
It sounds like we even have less. I just want to say, focus this chi or this energy on healing and positivity, and you very well may get what you're looking for. It may be collectively being thought about by the others, the other side. So, okay.
Okay, very good. This program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Intergalactic Media, our radio partners, codingcompany.com, happily200.com, heavenincorporated.com, randyshannon.com, thebodycan.com, and drvalerie.com, and doctor is all spelled out. Anna Von Wrights, Dr. James Murphy, William Orange of the Commodores, John Denver, Dr. Joe Wallach, Jonathan Robinson, Alice Weaver Billings, Sheriff Richard Mack, Tippi Hedren Cash, Carol Channing, Deepak Chopra, Wolfgang Holdig, and William P. Dunn, Ed Astor, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams, Admiral Eugene Carroll, Jane Goodall, and Jonathan Granoff, Dennis Kucinich, Chris Burgard, Paul the Plumber, Satorius Missouris, that's the guy from the UN, Terry Cole Whitaker, Sherry St. Vincent, Lonnie Hogan Miller, Alan Brown, Sherry Sharifi Brown, Roger Stone, David R., descendant of King David, Raul Julia, Edward F. Group III, Shalene Nightingale, Lisa Sundberg of Family Matters, thanks Paul C. Bragg for leaving us your daughter, Patricia, to continue your work, C.W. Wright, Clint Curtis, James Timothy Turner, Gotham Chopra, Bruce McGill, Edgar Mitchell, astronaut, June Ree, he's the guy that brought Taekwondo to the U.S., Catherine Kramer, and a big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jeff Spinard, our producer, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackman, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mary Flynn, Ron Simon, and our research director, Ron Hayes, and to Micah, our announcer, and to Mike Vitale, have a great life, Mike. To John Young at Totally Gospel, a big thanks for our airtime and friendship over the years you have given us. A big thanks to our webmaster, Chung, Mustibo Kudavit, Magan, of our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. Next week, invite a friend to listen. Find at least one person or animal to be kind to every day. Your life will change. And thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
And welcome, Micah, our new producer.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through, now your heart is open.